Today's shiur in Maseches Bava Basra will be on Daf Kuf Samach Hei Omed Aleph. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shi'ur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. The Gemara that we will be beginning with is, as mentioned, Kuf Samach Hei Omed Aleph, 4 lines from the top. The Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Hakol Kamina Kamedina. With regard to what type of shtar one should prepare, he says, follow the local custom. The Gemara asks in wonderment, Vitana Kama Lesle Mina Gamedina? By the fact that the Mishnah presents Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel as saying, follow the local custom, this lends room to imply that the earlier opinion in the Mishnah does not hold from follow the local custom, and that's not reasonable. When dealing with the realm of customs, most all opinions would agree that you follow the custom. So what is going on in this Mishnah with regard to point of difference between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, who seemed to feel necessary to say that we follow the custom, and the Tana Kama, who did not say so emphatically? The Gemara will answer this by providing a long answer. We can see through the markings that we are about to start a long answer by noticing the encircled letter Tof, that's the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text in the space between the Gemara and the Rashbam, with a vertical dashed line indicating the length of this particular long answer. Before we continue in the Gemara itself, let us just glance at our topic heading, which is best serves as an introduction to a sugya, and at times it can be used as well as a review method. So our topic heading says the Nose, Bameh Holkim Tanakam Reb Shimon Gamliel, Beinyan Hachonas Get Poshut VeGet Mekushar. What is the point of difference between the Tanakam, the early opinion in the Mishnah of Shimon Gamliel, regarding the preparation of standard documents and sewn documents? Me'achar Shikula Maskim Im Sholchem Boser Minag Medina, when everyone would agree that you follow the local custom. So we now proceed to see the answer. What's the point of difference? Omar Abaye. Abaye points out, and let us use some of our numbering markings to help appreciate what's going to happen in the Gemara. We have a Roman numeral number 1 over here with a subsection Aleph and Beis that follow. If you skip down a couple lines, you'll notice a Roman numeral number 2 preceded by an expression ki pligi, that's squiggle underline. What the Gemara will be doing here, what Abaye will be doing here, is telling us under Roman numeral 1, point Aleph and Beis will not be a point of controversy. Only when we get to point Roman numeral number 2 will the Gemara present the point of controversy. So let us now continue in the Gemara. Omar Abaye, Ba'asra Denehigi Beposhut, in a community where the common method of preparing shtoros was by preparing normal, regular documents, V'omarle, and the individual interested in ordering a document orders, he turns to, calls up his scribe and says, Ovid li poshut, prepare for me a standard document. The Ozal Ovid le Mekushar, and he did not listen, the scribe did not listen and prepared for him a sewn type document, Kepeda. This would constitute a violation of the instructions that were mentioned. In other words, when the instructions were stated as prepare for me a standard document in a community where all documents are prepared as standard, the fellow ordering them is insistent, is makpid, is insistent upon it be prepared the way he instructed. A second scenario, nihigi bimakusha, in a community where the custom is to prepare sewn documents, v'amale, and a fellow ordered ovidli makusha and said, prepare for me a sewn document, v'ozal ovidli poshet, and the scribe went ahead and prepared for him a standard type document, a non-sewn document, also kepeda. It also would be a violation of the instructions. As we said before, the instructions to prepare a makusher, which is in conformity to the minhag, is an instruction upon which he is insisting. He is makpid. Hence, doing otherwise is considered a violation of those instructions. Ki pligi, the point of difference between the Tanakama and Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel is under the following circumstances. Ba'asra denehigi beposhet u'mekushar. In a community where both types of documents are prepared. The Amale, and the fellow ordering the document to be prepared, said, Ovidli poshet. Prepare for me a standard form, which is essentially an easier type of document to prepare. The Ozal Ovidli Makushar. And the scribe went ahead and prepared a sewn document. Mor sovar kepeda. The Tanakhama says that when the fellow ordered a poshet, he was insistent upon that. And hence, the preparation of a makusha would be a violation of those instructions. Umor sovar mara mokum hulo. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says that by saying, prepare for me a poshet, the fellow ordering it was simply giving the scribe an easy way to have things done. In other words, if he would have prepared a makusher, that would have been even better. But he gave him an option of doing it an easier way. That is what's implied by the term mare mokum hulo. And therefore, when instructions are stated in such a way whereby an option to do it in an easier fashion is stated, by doing it in the more difficult, more expensive way, that would not constitute a violation of the instructions. Omar Abaye, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Lozer, three Tanoim that Abaye lists here, Kulu Sviru Lehu, they are all of the opinion in their respective cases, which the Gemara will feature, Mare Mokum Hulo, that the instructions that were issued in these different cases were instructions that were not one of insistence, but rather instructions that incorporated within them an option to execute the mission in an easier way. So we mentioned three names. The Gemara now goes over them, presenting the cases. Number one, Reb Shimon ben Gamliel, Ha Damaran. The case of Reb Shimon ben Gamliel is found in our Mishnah as we described above. Number two, Rabbi Shimon Disnan. The case of Rabbi Shimon is a case involving marriage of a woman done through a shaliach, done through a messenger or emissary. Where I ask a shaliach, I ask an emissary to present money to a woman on my behalf, offering marriage to her. In other words, I tell the shaliach I say the following, hiskachi li bekesef. I tell the shaliach, marry her by giving her some silver. Kesef being silver. The case that we will see here is that the shaliach goes ahead to the designated woman and gives her gold being a more expensive material. Is the woman considered mekudeshes? Is she considered married? So Reb Shimon Omer, im hita lishvach, if the hita literally mistake, in this case it would be a violation, so to speak, of the literal instruction. But the deviation, in fact, was in the positive. in other words, in an upgraded fashion. If the original instructions were, marry her to me through silver, and he, in fact, presented her with gold, that we can call hito lishvach, harezu mikudeshes. She is considered married. In other words, according to Rabbi Shimon, the original instructions of use kesef was what we would call mare mokom hulo, presenting an option that has an easy way to be executed. If the emissary decides to put himself out and use a more expensive material, all the better. Rebbe Lozer Desnan, Rebbe Lozer, the third opinion reflecting this concept of mare mokom, is the following. This involves a case of divorce. Ha'isha she'omra, a woman who said to her shaliach, Hiskabel li giti mimokom ploni. She instructs her emissary to receive on her behalf a divorce document, a get, and says to him, go to a certain place. And she mentions a place name where she expects him to receive the get on her behalf. Vekiblo lo mimokom acher. And the emissary, her shliach, goes and receives it on her behalf in another place, a place other than that which she designated. Puzzle. The first opinion says it's not acceptable. This is considered a violation of her desires. She did not want to be exposed to the embarrassment that accompanies a divorce in some other place. She had a specific place in mind. However, Rebbe Lozer machshir. Rebbe Lozer says that wherever the shliach accepts the get on her behalf, it's a legitimate divorce, it's a kosher divorce. That the fact that she specified a specific place was simply to make matters easier for him. But if he should want to trouble himself to go to some other place, that's okay. Let us see what the Rashbam says about this. Rebbe Lozer machshir desovar mare mokom hu lo. That the woman gave him instructions to go to a certain place, trouble himself and go to a certain place. If, however, the shliach should want to go more, should want to trouble himself even more, let him be blessed for that. The Gemara, in looking at this last case, reviews the two opinions, where the shlich went to a place other than that which she mentioned. The Gemara says, more savar, according to the first opinion, kepeda, her mentioning of a specific place was, in fact, an insistence upon that place. Umor sofar, Rabbi Elozer, mare mokom hulo. He was simply giving the shliach an option, and she was giving the shliach an easy option of carrying out her instructions, but if he would want to trouble himself to go to another place, that would be okay too. The Mishnah, we turn our attention back to the issue of get, of shtar mekushar and shtar poshut. The Mishnah tells us the following. Poshut shekosuv boi eid echad, and a mekushar that has written in it two eidim, are both posel. Before we continue in the Gemara, let us glance at our topic heading provided in the outside margin, the nosei. Mahu hachidush, what is the novel idea in the Mishnah, b'meshe kotoni b'masnisin, concerning that which the Mishnah says, that a get poshut shekosuv bo eid echad posel. The Mishnah reports that a shtar poshut that has one witness signed in it is not legitimate. Harei ze pshita, that is a simple point of law. I don't need a Mishnah to report that. So the question is, what is the chidush? What is the novel? What is the Mishnah trying to convey? So in answer to that, the Gemara will present machlokas Abaye v'Ameimar b'tshuva l'sheila zu. We'll see a machlokas between Abaye and Ameimar regarding the answer to this particular question. So let us see the question in the Gemara. Bishlama mekusha shekosuv bo shnei edim posel itzdrich. Notice we've used a singular quotation marks around six words. That was in order to instruct us to read the entire section as a singular phrase without pausing in the middle. In this particular case, the Gemara is saying, I understand the necessity of teaching the halacha concerning a sewn document that has two witnesses in it as being void. that's itzirich, it's necessary. Salka daita chamina, I would have thought without the Mishnah. Hoyul uba alma kosher, since in general, two witnesses that sign a document render it binding, render it kosher. Hachonami, so too, a sewn document that has two witnesses, even though it should have three in it, but if it has two, kosher. That's what I would have thought. Komash malon de posel. The role of the Mishnah, therefore, is to come to tell me that it is not acceptable. That if a sewn document has two witnesses, even though in general two witnesses are acceptable, not in this case. Ela poshet shekosuv bo eid echad. But the point mentioned in the Mishnah that a standard document that has only one witness in it, that that's not kosher, pshita, that's a point of, that's an obvious point. The question then being, why does the Mishnah teach that? Omar Abaye, lo nitzercha, de'afilu eid echod b'ksav v'eid echod b'fe. That which the Mishnah says that eid echod is posel, it means that even in a case where you have, in fact, two witnesses, it's just that one witness signed it, one witness signed the document indicating, let us say, for example, that a loan took place, and there is a second witness, but he didn't sign. He is able to testify orally that the loan took place. Abaye is telling us that under such circumstances, we will not rely on this signed loan document to collect from properties that had been sold after the loan was extended. Namely, what we use, what we refer to in halachic terminology, he will not be able to be goyva milukuchos, he won't be able to collect from purchasers. Rather, this loan will be viewed as an oral agreement, an oral loan, and as such, when time comes, when the debt becomes due, the lender will be able to turn only to the borrower himself, and not to those people who bought properties after the time of the loan. He will not be able to turn to the lekuchos. Ameimar achshir be'ed echod b'ksav ve'ed echod al peh. Ameimar, and using the Rashbam's commentary, Ameimar says that a shtar that has a singular witness in it, but is accompanied by a second witness who could testify about the loan, this is considered a full-fledged shtar, or milva b'shtar, and according to Ameimar, the malve, the lender, would be able to collect from the purchasers that purchased after the point of the loan. In other words, this kind of loan creates a lien on the lender's properties, and hence, if they are sold to purchasers, the lender would be able to turn to them. As we go on in the Gemara, we will notice a geometric form. The first of them, as far as today's shiur is concerned, in this case, the triangle, we offer an explanation in the outside margin, the mivneh. First of all, we indicate ma'akav, that the use of the triangles here will be to keep track. Ma'akav, keep track, the play-by-play. With the point facing up, kushya, this will represent a question. Simun the kushyos shel Rav Ashi la'Meimar. These will be the questions that Rav Ashi presents to Ameimar. When the triangle flips over, they will be tshuvos shel Ameimar. There will be responses of Ameimar to those questions. Before we go on in the Gemara, we had raised a question that the Mishnah seems to teach that which is obvious, namely, Eid Echad be'poshut is posel, that a singular witness has signed a standard document, the document is void. Abaye said there's a novel teaching. And as a result of that, I really needed the Mishnah. I needed the Mishnah to teach me the case that even if you have, in fact, two witnesses, it's just that only one signed the document, so it's not treated as a milva b'shtar. But according to a Ameimar that says that such a document where one witness signed it and there was a second witness that could testify orally concerning the loan, this is considered a milve b'shtar. So what is the role of the Mishnah? What is the Mishnah teaching me that I wouldn't have known otherwise? When the Mishnah says that eid echod b'shtar beget poshut is posel. Let's see this discussion in the Gemara. Amar Leih Rav Ashi la Meimar. V'ha de Abaye mai. Ravashi says to Amemo, and what do you have to say about Abaye? Namely, that Abaye taught that Eid Echad B'Ksav and Eid Echad B'Peh is not considered a kosher milva b'shtar. Amalei, Amemar says back, you want to know what I think about that? Lo shmi ali, klomar lo svirali. If we translate the Gemara, he says, lo shmi ali, I don't hear it, which klomar, which means to say, I don't hold from it. Okay, so if you reject Abaye, Rav Ashi continues to ask, elo kashyo masnisin. So, what do you do with regard to the Mishnah, which on its own seems to be teaching me something obvious? Amemar answers, ho komashmolon. The following is what the Mishnah teaches. Before we proceed to hear Amemar's response, let's just take note that we are now going to be seeing a long marking, Amemar's point. It's a long point, a long answer. We've used a inverted triangle in the little space in the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara, indicating the length of Amemar's response. In other words, all of the lines of the Gemara that are opposite, that are parallel to these, to the vertical dashed line, form Amemar's response. Continuing in the Gemara, Amemar says, "Ho kamash malan." The Mishnah reveals the following: "Dishnayim b'makushar ke'ed echad b'poshut." The purpose of presenting "ed echad b'poshut" as being void in and of itself has no novel idea that is alluded to, but rather it's a source of comparison. The Gemara continues, "Ma hosam psula daraisa." Just like "ed echad" in a standard document is of no value on a Torah level, it's considered completely useless. Af hochonami psula doraisa. So too, in the case of a shtar mekusher, a sewn document that has two witnesses, the rabbanon applied to it psul doraisa, meaning they view it as being non-kosher, as if the Torah itself rendered it posel. Let's just glance in the Rashbam. We have a little asterisk that helps draw our attention to the point in the Rashbam we want to read. The third line from the top at the end. Af shnayim shebemekusher hitilu av chachomim. So too, two witnesses assign the sewn document, the Rabbanan placed upon it psula deraisa, placed upon it the rules of a document that would be unacceptable from the Torah standpoint. Ve'im get, and if it's a divorce document, namely a sewn divorce document that has only two witnesses in it, when it's supposed to have three, eino mugureshes, the woman will not be considered divorced. Ve'im shtar milvehu, and if it's a shtar testifying to a loan, and it's a sewn document that has only two witnesses, eino toref mimishabdi, he will not be able to collect from those properties that were sold after the loan was extended. Avol, the Rashbam continues and reminds us, im yesh sham eid echod baal peh, im eid echod hechosum b'shtar. If, however, you have a shtar poshut that has one witness that signed and a second witness that happens to not have signed but could testify orally, Oz yeh ashtar kosher legamri, the mitzdarfin. Then such a shtar poshut like that, would be a full-fledged document with all that is implied. The Gemara continues, Teda de shochu mitam chavraya the Rebbe Yirmiya, that one should realize that the conclusion that I drew, namely a shtar poshut that has one witness that signed it and one witness that's baal peh, that they will certainly link up to form a unit of two witnesses. And that point, says Amemar, you should know, is accepted by Rabbi Yirmiyah, as we will see later in this Gemara. And that's what is going to be reported here, an incident where the students, or the Chavraya, the colleagues in Eretz Yisrael, they sent to Rabbi Yirmiyah the following. Eid echod b'ksav v'eid echod al peh mahu shi'itstarfu. That was the question that they presented to Rav Yirmiyah, a singular witness that signs a standard document, and there's a second witness that could testify to the events orally. Do they link up? And do we thereby consider it as if two signed the document? This was the question the Chavraya sent to Rav Yirmiyah. If we were to skip down the Amud, first of all, we have a bracketed section. The question that was presented is really not presented in its complete form, but rather, after they asked the question, Mahu Shi'itstarfu, the Gemara, after the bracketed section, continues the question with the Aleph O Dilma Beis structure. In other words, presenting two sides of the question. After that, if you glance down further in the Gemara, you'll notice an inverted house form. At that point, Rav Yirmiyah answers the question, and we can read that right now. Sholach lehu, Rav Yirmiyah says, he first opens with an expression of humility. He says, Ani eini kedai sheshalachtem li elokach das talmidchem noite sheyitztarfu. After his expression of humility, which we'll go over a little bit later, he says that my opinion is that they are mitzarif. The Echod B'Ksav and Echod Alper are mitzarif. So, as far as Amemar is concerned, what have we seen in this Gemara? As far as the Mishnah that said Eid Echod B'Ksav, Eid Echod B'Poshut is void, is puzzle. Truth is, there is no novel halacha being conveyed in that expression per se, but it's used as a basis of comparison to the case of two witnesses that signed a sewn document. That just as one in a regular document is totally unacceptable, so to two that sign a sewn document are totally unacceptable. However, as far as my own opinion with regard to Abaye, namely, whereas Abaye said that Eid Echod B'Ksav and Eid Echod Be'al Peh do not join up, I hold they do join up, and we know that Rav Yirmiyah holds the same way as we presented a moment before. We must go over the Gemara again because we left out an entire bracketed section. And in order to appreciate the bracketed section, we have to share some words of introduction beforehand. We have a note on the outside margin, a mivneh note, the house form. We will notice as we go down the Omid, this house form appears four times. The house form introduces the chavraya that ask a question. That's what we've noted in our note there in the outside margin. She'elah, 1 through 4. Arba l'shoinois, 4 expressions, 4 versions, b'mesh sho'alu chavraya es Rav Yirmiyah. What was the question that the chavraya posed to Rav Yirmiyah? So, in the first version, the question was, what is the halacha concerning a singular signed witness accompanied by a second oral witness? Do they join up? When we go to number 2, we will notice a different version of the question. In fact, it will be Rav Ashi's presentation, because after hearing Amemar and his formal rejection of Abaye, we're going to be interested in hearing how Rav Ashi, who originally posed the question to Amemar, what Rav Ashi's response is to all of this. That will be the second presentation of the question of the Chavraya. We will see 2 more versions of the question that they sent to Rav Yirmiyah as the Gemara goes on. Another point of introduction is noticing the brackets that we had in our Gemara. In the inside margin, we have a note here. Sograim elu, these brackets, v'haboyim achareim b'shtayim u'b'sholosh, in number 2 and number 3. That means if you scan down the page, you'll notice under house marking Roman numeral number 2, a bracketed section appears, and likewise in number 3, a bracketed section appears. All these bracketed sections, our note continues, say mu'adim l'shem diluk. Their role is for skipping. She'elois halolu, the questions that will be presented, heim besignoin aleph oidilmo beis. Their style will be a question presenting two sides. The first side, aleph oidilmo, or possibly a second side. Kloma ha'gemora ma'ala es ha'she'elo lifnei hasograim. The style of this Gemara is that it will raise the basic question before the bracketed section, and then will present the two sides to the question after the bracketed section. Besoch kol echad me hasograim halalu, within each one of these bracketed sections, hagemara tagid aliba mi she'ein tzorech lishoil hashela. The Gemara will present opinions according to whom there is no need to raise these questions. So once we mentioned the existence of opinions, that means that there is other background information that is necessary to be exposed to before we can proceed with the Gemara. That background information is provided by the Rashbam. He quotes a Tanaic source that's found in Maseches Sanhedrin, and for your convenience, we've framed the Tanaic source that is found in the Rashbam. This Tanaic source has two sections to it. They're indicated, if you notice the framed section in the Rashbam, the upper third of the page, you notice there's a frame section, there's a 1 that's encircled, that we will call the resha, and then there's a number 2 that appears halfway down the framed section, that being the sefa. Within each section, there are two opinions. The resha and the sefa deal with different circumstances. The resha deals with, we can say more accurately, the entire source deals with the issue of testimony. However, the issues or the circumstances of the first section and the second section of this source are different. In the first section, the issue concerns the ability of witnesses to mitztaref, to join up, to form a unit of two witnesses. In Jewish law, for the most part, you always need two witnesses in order to be able to have acceptable testimony. It's a very broad realm, but for our purposes, we are trying to form a unit of two witnesses. The opening section of this source deals with tziruf, joining up of witnesses concerning the initial events. In other words, if we want to talk about alone, what will be the din if two people see a loan being extended, but the two people that see the loan do not see it at the same time? Two parties, we can call them Reuven and Shimon. Reuven sees a lender extending $100 to a borrower, and Shimon sees the same lender extending $100 to the borrower, but Reuven and Shimon that see the $100 being extended do not see it at the same time. Do we have a unit of two witnesses? So let us read the framed section, and it says, Le'olam ein edusan mitztarefes ad shiyiru shneihem ke'echad. we cannot have the joining of two witnesses to form a unit of Edim unless they see the event together. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha Omer Afilu Bozeh Achar Zeh. Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha says that even if one sees it after the other, in other words, Reuven saw something and Shimon saw it afterwards, they do join up. Even if one says that the $100 bill that Reuven saw was not the same $100 bill that Shimon saw, it can be agreed, though, and this is what Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha would say, that $100 was loaned, and therefore, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, these two witnesses could come to court and testify that they saw this lender extend $100 to the borrower. The second section of the source deals with a different topic concerning testimony. As far as the Seifa is concerned, let us lay down the following point, that the two opinions that we're going to see now, the Tanakama and Rabbi Nosson, will agree that the initial witnessing had to be together. Being that they saw the initial event together, what about their testifying together? The Tanakhama says that it's not enough that they saw the event together, but they have to offer testimony together. Namely, they come into court on the same day and testify one after the other. According to Rabbi Nosson, that's not necessary. He will tell us that one witness can testify today, and the second witness can testify tomorrow, and they will join up to form a set of two witnesses. Let's see this now in the text. V'ein eduson miskayemes bebeisdin ad shi'aidu shnehem ke'echod. The Tanakama of the Seifa says that their testimony will not be accepted in Bezin unless they testify together. Rabbi Nosson Omer, Shomin Dvorav Shelzeh Hayoim. Rabbi Nosson says, we will listen to the testimony of one today. Ukshiavu Chaver Lamochor Shomin Dvorav, and when his friend comes tomorrow to testify, we will accept him. We turn back to our Gemara. Our Gemara, namely the question that the Chavraya sent to Rabbi Yirmiyah, that was featured on the fourth line from the top, was a question also concerning tziruf, connection, joining up. And their question concerned one witness who signs the document and the other witness that saw the loan but did not sign the loan document, but he could testify orally concerning the loan. Do they join up? So the Gemara continues in the bracketed section. Aliba de Tanakama de Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, according to the first opinion in the source, the first opinion relative to Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, lo tiboy aloch, there's no room for raising our question. The afilu shnayim biksav, even two witnesses that sign a document, or ushnayim alpeh, or two witnesses that could testify orally. In other words, the two witnesses have the same characteristic. They both signed a document. Lo mitstarfi, they do not join up unless they saw the event together. So the possibility of joining up with regard to the Tanakama of Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha is very limited. Even if they have the same nature, namely they're both signers, that doesn't guarantee they're going to join up. They, in addition to be both signers, they will have to have seen the event together. Therefore, it's obvious to us that in the case of you have one that signed and the other didn't sign at all, he's only available to testify orally, they certainly would not join up. Eloki tiboy aloch. Rather, when there is room to raise the question of Echad Biksav and Echad Alpeh, Aliba de Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, we can raise the question within his approach to testimony. And now the Gemara will present the two sides of the question. Aleph, Shnayim Biksav Ushnayim Alpe Hu Demitzdarfi. Avol, Eid Echod Biksav, the Echod Alpe, Lo Mitzarfinan. It could be that even Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, who is somewhat liberal with regard to the ability of joining up, namely, even if they did not see the event together, they can join up, but that's provided they both have the same nature, namely, they're both signers or they are both oral testifiers. But the case of one who is a signer and one who is oral, that cannot join up. Or possibly the other side of the question is, maybe that doesn't make a difference. Maybe it's not binding that they have to be both of the same nature. And that since we're dealing with Rabbi Yeshua ben Korcha, who was already liberal with regard to joining up, namely they did not have to see the event together, they don't have to have the same nature either in order to join up, to constitute a group of two witnesses. That's the question. Sholach Lehu, Rav Yirmiya answers, and notice how we have the inverted house. This is Rav Yirmiya responding to the Chavraya. And he says, in humility, he says, Ani eini kedai shalachtem li, I'm not worthy of having been sent your question. Elokach das talmidchem, and this incredible expression of humility, it says, he refers to himself as their student. He says, this is your student's opinion, note, so it appears to him, sheyitztarfu, that echod biksav and echod alpeh would join up. This was all of Amemar's speech, so to speak, in responding to Rav Ashi that we saw in Omid Aleph, where Amemar said to Rav Ashi, I disagree with Abaye, and I personally hold that Echod Biksav and Echod Alpeh do join up, and you can see that the great Rav Yirmiya supports what I said. Omar Le, the Gemara continues, and we have the triangle to help us navigate. We see that Rav Ashi is now responding. Notice how the triangle position is the same position that it was on Omid Aleph, where Rav Ashi opened up his discussion. This is what we call the ma'akav, the keep track method of simunim, of the markings. So Rav Ashi says back, and once again, we've also provided a long marking that accompanies this in the space immediately to the right-hand side of the Gemara text, indicating that this is a long response on the part of Rav Ashi. Omar Le, Rav Ashi says to Amemar, Anan hochi masninon la. Notice the squiggle underline under this expression, hochi masninon la. We employ the squiggle underline very often when it comes to presenting different versions of something or alternatives. We did that a few lines ago with the old Dilma, which was also a function of presenting alternatives to sides to a question. Here we have an alternative version of what the Chavraya sent to Rav Yirmiya. So Rav Ashi says to Amemar, we have a different version of that whole discussion, and at the end of this version we will not have something that differs with Abaye. Remember, Abaye said that Echod Biksav and Echod Alpeh are not Mitztaref. That will remain as far as we're concerned, says Rav Ashi. What about the issue of the question that the Chavraya sent to Rav Yirmiya and his subsequent response? That was a different topic. So let us see Rav Ashi's version of the Chavraya's question to Rav Yirmiya, and they're presented once again in the house form. We've called this Roman numeral number 2 because this is the second version of that give and take between the Chavraya and Rav Yirmiya. Continuing in the Gemara. So Rav Ashi says, Anan hochi masninon lo deshochule chavraya l'Rav Yirmiya shnayim she'idu, two that testified, echod bebeizdin ze ve'echod bebeizdin ze, one witness testified in court one, and the second witness testified in court two. Mahu shiavo beizdin etzel beizdin v'yitztarfu, can the two beizdins get together and serve as a singular unit, and thereby serve to combine the witnesses and form an acceptable unit of witnesses. In other words, between these two Beis Dins, in fact, there were two witnesses that testified to the given events. If you follow the marking system and use the brackets, the question has been presented, but there are two sides to the question, and that's what appears immediately after the brackets, where it says, Aleph, Bechad Beidino Hude Mitztarfi, Abu Betray Beidino Lo Mitztarfi, that it could be that witness combining takes place, but that's provided they appear in the same Beis Din. Odumalo Shnor, it could be that witness combining takes place even if it's in two Beis Dins. We'll, of course, go over this again. The question, though, was raised, and the question being, two witnesses who do not appear in the same Beis Din, but rather appear each one in a separate Beis Din, can these Beis Dins come together and serve as a method of combining the two witnesses into a unit of testimony? Following the bracketed section, we now go into the bracketed section. Aliba de Tanakama de Rabbi Nosson. As far as the first opinion relative to Rabbi Nosson, whom we saw in the Rashbam, in the framed section. This was the section of the source quoted from Maseches Sanhedrin that dealt with witness combining, not as far as initial test, not initial witnessing of events, but rather witness combining with regard to the actual offering of testimony. The Tanakhama of Rabbi Nosson said that witnesses do not combine into a unit of two unless they testify together, namely one right after the other in the same court appearance. If that be the case, the first opinion is rather restrictive in his allowance for combination. Therefore, you can imagine, as far as our question is concerned, he will not allow for combination. And that we see in the bracketed section. Aliba de Tanakama de Rabbi Nosson lo tibala. As far as that opinion is concerned, the first opinion relative to Rabbi Nosson, there is no room for raising this question. Dafilu b'chad beis dina nami lo mitztarfi. That even within one beis din, two witnesses would not be mitztarf, would not combine unless they testify together. Rather, if there's any room to raise this question, namely of two witnesses, each one testifying in a separate Beis Din, can they combine? That could be raised only according to Rabbi Nosson. The Gemara now presents the two sides of the question. Bechad Beidino Huda Mitztarfi. It could be that Rabbi Nosson, who allows for combination of testimony when they testify in two separate days, that's provided they're testifying in one Beis Din. Avo betray Beis Din lo mitztarfi. But even Rabbi Nosson, who is rather liberal, he will not allow combination of witnesses if they're testifying in two separate courts. Oh, domoloshno, or it could be that Rabbi Nosson makes no distinction, that once he allows for separate testimonies with regard to days, he will allow for combination of separate testimonies when it comes to locations as well, separate courts. That's the question. V'sholach lehu, and Rabbi Yirmiyah responds once again with the expression of humility, Ani eini kedai shatem shalachtem li. I'm not worthy to have been the one to whom you sent your question. Elo kach das tamidchem noite shiitztarfu. But all the same, the opinion of your student, namely myself, is that they will join up. The singular witnesses that testified in separate courts, the two courts can come together, and that will serve as a legitimate unit of testimony. Mor bar chia omar hochi sholchulei. We've employed this scroll underline because this is the beginning of a third alternative, third presentation of what the question that the Sholchulei mitam, the Chavraya that's addressed Rabbi Yirmiyah with their question, and of course we will notice the inverted house marking whereby Rabbi Yirmiyah offers his response. So this is the third version. Mar Baruchio Amar Hochi Sholchulei. Shnayim she'idu bebeizdin zeh. V'chozru v'he'idu bebeizdin zeh. Two witnesses testified in court one, and two witnesses, and the same two witnesses testified in the front of court number two. Mahu shiyavo echod mikol beizdin v'yitztarfu. Can judges, representative judges from each bezdin, come together and form a bezdin? Well, in this case as well, we will be referring to the Tanoim that we saw before in the frame section in the Rashbam. Alibo de Rabbi Nosson lo tiboyaloch. As far as Rabbi Nosson is concerned, there is no need to raise this question. Hashta edim mitzarfinon dayona mibaya. If witnesses that are of a weaker legal nature than dayonim, and nevertheless witnesses can join up, then when it comes to dayonim, do I need to tell you that? In other words, it's obvious, according to Rabbi Nosson, that they would be able to join up. Ela kiti boyoloch alibo de tanakama de Rabbi Nosson. The question that they raise would be a question that would be within the opinion of the Tanakama of Rabbi Nosson. And the question is as follows, with the Aleph Ol Dilma Bay structure. In this case, as everyone noticed, we read the Gemara straight through because the feeling was that everyone is well acquainted already with the structure. So the two sides of the question are, Edim hu delo mitzarfinan. It could be that the Tanakama of Rabbi Nosson was restricted with regard to witness combining. In other words, if the witnesses don't testify on the same day, they don't combine. Avol dayoni mitzarfinan, but with regard to combining judges from the different courts, in other words, representative judges from the different courts that heard the testimony, they could combine. Or it could be that the Tanakama of Rabbi Nosson makes no distinction, that in this case too there is no joining up, and that the representative judges that come from the different basins could not come together to form a Beis Din unit of three judges. That's the question. Shalach lehu, Rabbi Yirmiyah says back, Ani eini kedai she'atem shalachtem li, elokach das tamidchem noite, she'yitztarfu. I am of the opinion that they would be able to join up. Ravina omar hochi, sholchu lei. Ravina is the fourth opinion as to what the question was that was sent to Rav Yirmiyah. Shloisha sheyoshvu lekayim es hashtar umeis echad mehem. This question is of a brand new nature as far as the need to reference the source in the Rashbam. In this fourth version, we will not be making reference to that source involving issues of testimony of witnesses. This is a new topic. This involves court certification of documents, of signatures in documents, known as Kiyum Hashtar. A court is formed by three judges. Under normal circumstances, the witnesses who signed the document would come in front of a court of three and say, each one of the witnesses would say, this is my signature. The three judges that hear this would then prepare a statement indicating that they heard the witnesses testify in front of them, and we know who these people are, and they testify that these are their signatures. What happens if one of the three judges, after hearing the testimony, but before signing his name to the certification, dies? Let's see this in the Gemara. The question was asked, Shloisha shiyoshvu l'kayim es hashtar, three judges that sat down to verify a document, the signatures in a document, umeis echad mehem, and one of the judges that was present when the certification, when the witnesses testified concerning the acceptability, the honesty of their signatures, that these signatures are a reality. They sat together and heard their testimony. Umeis echad mehem. Tzrichi lemichtav, do they have to write the following or not? Do they have to write b'moisav tlosa havina v'chad leisohi? We were three when we heard the witnesses ascertain their signatures, and one of us is no longer, he died. Oilo, or do they not have to write that? Sholach lehu. Rav Yirmiyah says, Ani eini kedai she'atem shalachtem li, elo kach das talmidchem loitev. She'tzrichim lemichtav. They do have to write this text. B'moisav tlosa avinu v'chad leisohi. The Gemara now makes a very terse reference to an incident that took place much earlier in this Masechet. For those of you who are learning this Masechet from the beginning, or from practically the beginning, one may recall a question that Rav Yirmiyah raised in the Beis Medrash concerning a bird who was 1 foot within the 50 amas and 1 foot out of the 50 amas. As far as that sugya is concerned, there is no need to go over that sugya right now. You can look it up in the second parak of this Masechet. And he asked a question that riled up the Chachomim in the Beis Medrash, and in fact it got them so upset they ejected him from the Beis Medrash. At this point, the question that was sent to Rav Yirmiyah, and his response, and especially his humble response, and his accurate and humble response, was grounds for them, for the sages, to return Rav Yirmiyah to their midst. And that's what the Gemara says, V'aldo ailuhu l'Rav Yirmiyah b'bei medrasha. And based on this, the Rabbanan returned Rav Yirmiyah to the Beis Medrash. We now come upon a new Mishnah. We have a marking that features the expression Zuzin Me'ah. We've noted on the outside margin, Nosei Mifneh. This double underline with the dots in it is Hadgoshas Zuzin Me'ah. It helps to highlight the beginning of two particular cases. And the topic here is Eich Liyashev Stirois Bishume Kesef Aksuvim Bishtar. How can we resolve what appears to be contradictions with regard to amounts of money referred to in documents? The Mishnah opens up Kosuv Bo. In a loan document, the following is written, and we use quotation marks to enclose that which is actually written. Zuzin Mea de Inun Silin Esrin. That a loan of 100 zuz, or could be understood as 100 dinar. 100 dinar under normal circumstances is equal to 25 sela. But in this document it says a loan of 100 zuz, that is 20 sela, took place. So the question is, on the one hand, this document indicates that a loan of 100 zuz took place, which would be 25 sela. On the other hand, it says 20 sela. Ein loy elo esrim. The lender will be able to collect only 20. The Rashbam offers explanation. Let us take a look in the Rashbam at the Mishnah commentary. Kosuv bo b'shtar milve zuzim me'ah de'inun esrim sloyim. Lova ploni miploni. This document says that 100 zuz, which is 20 sela, so and so borrowed from so and so. V'yafal pisha me'al zuzi harei hein chof heislam. Even though 100 zuz is equal to 25 sela, sela being a coin that contains 1 sela has 4 zuz. Hence, 25 sela would be 100 zuz. Ein la malva ella chof zuzim. This lender will be able to collect only 20 zuz. Diyad bal ashtar al tachtona, the one holding the shtar, meaning the lender who owns the shtar, his hand is considered the underdog. V'hamotzi mechavero olov haraya, and he, the lender who is trying to extract more money from the borrower, it's upon him to bring proof. V'shemo kach piresh me'azuzim gruim v'chaserim. It could very well be, as far as we're concerned, even though it said 100 zuz, it may very well have been 100 poor quality zuz, she'enam shavim ela chof sloyim, that their market value, being that it's eroded silver coins, that their value really is 20 sela. And therefore, there's legitimate grounds for the borrower paying only 20 sela, and we don't have to view the text as being absolutely contradictory. Let's continue in the Mishnah. Case number 2. Zuzin mea de'inun tlosin silin. 100 zuz loan took place that are 30 sela. Now, once again, we know that 100 zuz is really 25 sela. So how is it that this, how are we to resolve this document that says a loan of 100 zuz, which could be explained as 25 sela, is 30 sela? How much will the lender be able to collect? Ein lo ela mona kesef. He'll be able to collect only a mona kesef being 25 sela. As we explained before, that yad baal hashtar ala tachtoino. The Mishnah continues with other expressions that are not clear. Zuzin de'inun v'nimchak. It says in this document, zuzin, that are, and one would have expected the number of zuz to be recorded, but something was erased. The number of zuz was erased. So all that you have is zuzin de'inun. How much will the lender be able to collect? Ein pochos mishtayim kesef. He'll be able to collect a minimum of two silver coins. If the following expression appears, silin de'inun v'nimchak, and the amount of sela coins was erased, ein pochos mishtayim. The lender will be able to collect two sela coins. Dirkonos de'inun. Dirkonos is another type of currency, and the amount is erased, v'nimchak, ein pochos mishnayim, being that it appears in the plural, so the minimum plural is two. The Mishnah goes on with other problematic shtoros. Kosuv bo milamala mona, umilamata mosayim. In the upper part of the shtar, there is an indication that the amount concerned was 100. And the lower part, when he continues or reviews the points or goes over the earlier part of the shtar in the record that the shtar reports, he's what's called kofal dvarov, he goes over the events, but when he goes over the events in the lower part of the shtar, it mentions a different sum, it mentions 200. Or an opposite case, milamala mosayim umilamata mona. How do we decide the amount? The Mishnah tells us, hakol hulich achara tachtoin. Everything follows the lower part, provided that the information that we're learning is not the last line of the shtar. We've learned in earlier sugyas that we do not learn new information from the last line. Here we're not referring to the last line, we're simply referring to a lower part of the shtar that recaps the earlier information. Im kein lama kosvin esalyon, if that be the case, so why is it that we have an upper part if we're essentially relying on the lower part? The answer is, she'im timchak ois achas min hatachton, if there's a situation where a singular letter was erased from the lower part, yumat min halyon, then we will refer to the upper part for clarification. As we go on, we notice a marking, a crown marking, and in the outside margin, we offer an explanation. Shnei brises, lovo kesef, lovo zahav. There are two brises. One opens up with a case of a loan of silver currency, and the second source deals with a loan of gold currency. Im hezber mashmaut bituyim shonim beinyan schumei kesef halva. These sources will explain the connotations of different expressions regarding amounts of the loan. This will become self-evident as we go on. Tanu Rabbanan, the first source, begins Kesef. It says in this particular document that so-and-so borrowed Kesef from so-and-so. How much? What can we conclude from this? Ein pochos midinar Kesef. The lender, if this is all that's written in the document, he will be able to collect a dinar of Kesef. Another case, Kesef Dinrin, the Dinrin Kesef, if you have either one of these expressions, either Kesef Dinrin or Dinrin Kesef, there is a plural here in the expression, Ein Pochos Mishnei Dinrin Kesef. He'll be able to place a claim on a minimum of two dinar Kesef. A third case, Kesef Bidinrin. What does that mean? Ein pochos mi b'shnei dinrim dohav kesef. The word dohav is also zohav, dalet and the zayin being interchangeable. This means that if you see the expression kesef bedinrim, it means that the amount of money in question is the amount that if you had two dinar of zohav, how many dinare kesef could two dinar of zahav buy or exchange for. That's the amount that will be owed. Omar Mar, we now go over a point that was mentioned. Kesef, ein pochos mi dinar kesef. If the document said that a loan of kesef took place, the lender will be able to collect a minimum of a dinar of kesef. We know that a dinar, for example, is a quarter, there are four dinar kesef in a selah coin. As we go on in the Gemara, we notice another marking, a double underline. Double underlines are used as a series marking, as all the geometric forms. We have an explanation in the outside margin. The double underline you notice is featured, emo. That's the word that's highlighted here. Hatsaot chilufiot. These will be alternative suggestions. We've also featured in a diamond Rebbe Lozer's name. After the Tanaic source said that if the term kesef appears in the document, the minimum amount that the malveh will be able to collect, he'll be able to collect a dinar of kesef. The Gemara says, v'eimo nasko. Maybe by virtue of the appearance of the word kesef, it means that he can collect a nasko, a bar of silver. It's an unminted piece of silver. Amar Belozer, de kosuv be matbea. Even though it doesn't say so in the source that we read, Rebbe Lozer says that you have to understand that this source was terse, and that in the document in question that the source ruled on, the source said that he gets a minimum of a dinar kesef because that document said matbea kesef. If you see matbea kesef, then the ruling is he'll be able to collect a minimum of a dinar of kesef. V'eimo priti. If the document says matbea kesef, maybe it's a reference to these very small coins known as priti. Omar Rav Popo, Be'asra de lo sagi priti de kaspo. We're talking about a document that was produced in a community, an asra community, that priti kesef, these very small silver coins, are not part of their currency. They're not used in commerce. Hence, that could not be what was intended in this particular document. Tanu Rabbanan, we now see a very similar source, but in this case dealing with gold. A document that says dohav. So, how much can the lender collect? Ein pochos mi dinar dohav. Dohav dinrim, v'dinrim dohav. Let's say you see this expression. The amount that he could collect is ein pochos mi shnei dinrim dohav. He'll be able to collect no less than two dinar of zahav, of gold. A third case, dohav bedinrin, ein pochos mi b'shnei dinrim kesef dohav. This lender will be able to collect the amount of gold that could be exchanged for 2 dinar of kesef. This, of course, is much less than the case above, which the coin, which in which the metals were reversed. Omar Mar Dohov, ein pochos mi dinar Dohov. If the document had the word Dohov, that Zohov was loaned, so we said that the lender will be able to collect a dinar of Zohov. The Gemara asks, Eimon Aska, very similar to the Gemara before. We have used the same markings as well. Maybe the intent is for a bar of gold. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Dekosav Mapea, the shtar in question had the term coin written in as well, hence ruling out the idea of naska, of a bar of gold. Rather, we're talking about a minted coin. The Eimo Priti, the Gemara at the top of Kuf Samach Vov Amarav, suggests maybe the intent is very small gold coins. These are Priti, are much smaller than the dinar coin. So the Gemara answers, Priti didavo lo avdi inchi. In no place do people mint tiny gold coins. With that, we complete our shiur for today.